command. Love your neighbor as yourself. Has anybody got any neighbors that they have a hard time loving? Has anybody got anybody at work that they got a hard time loving? Has anybody, I could ask my wife this, is there any time that you have a hard time loving your husband, Cynthia McElhaney? She's shaking her head, but man, I thought she'd say yeah for sure. But you know, love your neighbor as you love yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. So I say, now I'm going back to the spirit, man. So I say, live by the spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what's contrary to the spirit. And the spirit, and that's God's spirit, y'all. And the spirit, what is contrary to the flesh, they are in conflict with each other so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you're led by the spirit, you're not under the law. But if you're led by the spirit of God, you're not going to get yourself into a lot of trouble. I notice any time that I just said I want to do what I want to do, I want to spend my money the way I want to spend it, you know, I'm not going to, no, this is my money. No, man, even after the tithe, whatever money's left is God's money. He's calling you to manage it justly and do what you're supposed to do. If you do what God says, I always find myself on top. Amen? And then I'm just going to go from there to Matthew 22, 37 through 40. And Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. Notice how that's like threefold there. You ever heard of God the Holy Spirit? God the Father, God the Holy Spirit, and God the Son? You know, love the Lord God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like, love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. You know, some people don't, they can love their neighbor. 100% of everybody says they love the Lord God with all your heart and mind and soul. And all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All of us are as filthy rags if we try to come before God with our own righteousness. But a lot of people have trouble loving themselves. You've been told that you're no good. You've been told that you can't prosper. You've been told that you can't. You're not smart enough. You got kids that the devil don't care who he uses to speak negativity in your life, as long as it hits you and you'll think that that's true. But you know, this word tells me that I am more than a conqueror. This word tells me, therefore, through Christ. Therefore, through the anointing who strengthens me, I can do all things. Therefore, through Christ, this can be the greatest church in Arkansas. Therefore, through Christ, whatever you put your hands to can be blessed exceedingly, abundantly, above all we ask or even think, according to his power that works in us. How much of his power is working in us today? And so while I was at work, this was Tuesday, Wednesday, and I deal with my buddies, and my buddies started talking about loving God and that he loves God and wants to follow God with all his heart. And he's real careful about what he's going to do. And I mean, I can tell, like, when I would say something negative, he would say, listen, man, I'm going to tell you the truth. My wife's got mental problems. She's left me before. She's always come back. And he goes, now, I'm not saying she's going to come back. But I could tell he didn't want me saying nothing negative about his wife. So I just got on the, man, I love your wife too, man. I'm going to pray. But in all reality, I don't do him as much good as he done me. I had to tell him, man, I admire you, brother. I wish I could have more of that love in me. And the love I'm talking about is the God kind of love. You know, I seem to have on a good day the God kind of faith to call things that are not as though they are, to call house sales from the east, west, south, and north, to call finances from the east, west, south, and north, and not just in my life, but in whoever's life I pray for. But you know, there's a little lack on the love arena in my life is what I noticed. So as I was talking with God this week, I said, man, God, I think I'm trying to say to you, you know, what I need to preach on, and this just dropped in my spirit. Now it could be me, but when Charlie Bowerman, Chucky baby came to me this week at work with his pretty long hair, and he said, "Hey, Uncle, at midnight I'm going to be 21. I was amazed because I said, "Man, he's at work on his birthday. This is a good worker." And then I tried to figure out exactly how much older I was than him, and it was more than the numbers on my hands and my toes, so I quit trying to figure that out, but it was over 40-something. And I just wished him a happy birthday and told him I'd buy him a Subway sandwich. But I watched this kid. Now, he went from picking them cases up and being 75%, 80%. Now, Friday, he did 130% and got out of there early and did standard. And I watched some guys throwing them cases, and I thought, he has learned how to work the system now. He's learning how to make the incentive money and go out. But I always think, I was thinking about my dad when I was like 18, 19, and I would work with my dad, and he would be driving a forklift. Now, I'm not his dad, but I'm his uncle, but things like that. And then I see a boss at work with his daughter, and he's trying to train her how to go in the freezer and make some extra money. And I think in my mind, I said to God, and I believe God said, "What if you wasn't going to be here next week? What if you was going to come to heaven next week? What would you change about your life?" And immediately, I started thinking, you know, first of all, ultimately, number one is, how would I treat God? What would I do? Because, man, if you're going to meet God next week, you know, if you're going to meet somebody important, you'd be suiting up, doing, you know, getting your hair cut. But, man, God already knows you. And if you already know God, that shouldn't be a fear factor. But then I started thinking about, what about these people at work? Man, can I treat him with any more love like Josh treats for his wife that left him? You know, when people do us wrong, the first fleshly thing that we want to do is we want to kill him. We want to punch him in the face. In Chicago, you know, we want to have a little talk with him, you know, one-on-one, personally. But, man, I just started thinking about that. And, you know, I just started talking sweeter to people. You know, that one song, Born to Die or whatever, it's a country song, and he went and did this and he went and did that. I thought this was pretty cool because it Friday at work, and you know, usually I don't care where I drop that stuff, as long as it's in the freezer within 150 of where it goes, I'm out, in and out. But I seen this guy was having a bad day, and I know him for like 20 years, and I said, you know, now, I didn't mean I wasn't not going to be here, like, because I was going to die, but I meant I'm only going to be here working another couple of years. I said, you know, I don't know how long I'm going to be here, but if you see me drop something and it's me, just let me know. Or if there's something I can do to make your job easier, let me know, and I'll fix it. And I said, even if somebody else dropped it in the wrong place, I'll come and fix it and get it to you. I mean, this guy almost fainted, you know? I mean, this guy's like, what's wrong with Sam, you know, because Sam usually don't care. He'll drop it in the next aisle, and I'll have to go get it, you know. But I thought, you know, I think that if we take our time and love the Lord God with all our heart, mind, and soul, it's going to bring back a little difference. We're going to have mercy on more people. Amen? And so, like, I noticed to love God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and immediately I thought of this scripture in 3 John verse 2. 3 John verse 2, "Dear friend, I pray that you may enjoy good health and that all may go well with you just as you are progressing spiritually." Now that's the English one. "I pray that you may prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers." You know, everybody loves to prosper. Anybody that don't love to prosper, you need some money, you need a raise, you need finances. But God ties it here in your health. Anybody love being healthy? Not coughing, being sick. I remember when I had COVID, man. 1 week, I did not believe in COVID. It was all a government scam. And the next week, I tested positive, and I said, so God, this is really true, huh? But as I was laying there sick, I meditated, and I talked to God. And I said, God, you know, I still owe people some money. I'd like to try to have some integrity and pay my debts. I don't want to, you know, leave this life like right now with COVID. And I heard God say, don't worry about dying, Samuel. Worry about living right. and doing the things you're saying that you want to do right now. And, you know, I got over COVID, and lots of people got over COVID, but there were some people that didn't. Beloved, above all things, I want you to enjoy good health and that it may go well with you, just as you are progressing spiritually. See, it can't go well with you and God if you're not progressing spiritually. Pastor Kelly said it the best. You know, I hid his word in my heart that I might not sin against him. You know, she said it this morning. You can't just get enough Bible or the word of God in here on Sunday morning or Sunday night. You have to be putting this word in you. I remember when I was a young Christian, Brother Angelo would say, hey, man, I got this new thing and I can put the Bible on and I'm sleeping. And when I wake up, I'm hearing the Bible. And he goes, better than that, even when I'm sleeping, it's going in my spirit. Remember, if you walk in the spirit, you shall not walk in the flesh. Amen? So God, our spirit, man, is what really is going to cause us to be blessed. But I want to be healthy. I want to prosper. But, you know, to be healthy, you have to be walking right with God. Amen? And I'm going to say this right now. By his stripes, I am totally healed from the top of my head to the bottom of my toes. And as I was thinking on this verse, I went to 1 Timothy 1:7. It's not on the list. But it says, God has not given you a spirit of fear, but a power and of love and a sound mind. I've heard people say 2 Timothy 1:7. I had that wrote down. For the Spirit of God gives us, does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. Man, I'm 30 years old in Christ, and I still need the self-discipline. I used to, the same guy I'm talking about that's having the trouble with his wife is still walking in love. I used to go to work and I'd be so angry. They would change things, Paul. They'd say, we're going to do things this way today. And I'd have it set in my mind, you know. And he could see I was angry. Like, I didn't like the way they were doing things. And he came up to me and goes, Sam, he goes, it's like, man, it's like you're putting yourself in a jail. He goes, a jail of anger about some things you can't change. And the door is wide open, Sam, and you're sitting in there and you're angry because these people are telling us they want us to do it this way, and this way. He goes, no use being angry. We got to get paid every 2 weeks. Let's just do it their way. He goes, come on out of that jail. And I thought, if he would have told me any other way, I'd have been mad. I'd have got madder. And I thought, you know, this guy's right, man. I want that check every 2 weeks. I want their health insurance. I want their new glasses that I'm going to get here in a couple weeks. I want every benefit that I can get. Why should I be here being angry when these people give me a check every 2 weeks, when these people give me health care, when I've been working for them 30 years? Now, obviously, if there was a better job that God had wanted me to have, I would have been at it. And I'm not saying real estate, that's a better job. But I've been there for 30 years, and why be there angry? Now, you don't have to like what they want you to do or whatever. You don't have to like some of their policies. But I found it that if I'm in a good mood, I used to go there when I first was a Christian. And this was when I walked in the flesh heavy. And I would look for the weakest link or somebody that I didn't like. And I would just make his life miserable. And somehow I thought that gave me something to do while I was at work to take my mind off my own miserable stuff. But then I learned that all I really had to do, and that was just one person, and all I had to do was stand in the meeting, and when the bosses said something, I just had to say, this is a good plan. This is a great thing. They know what they're doing. And then everybody hated me and got ticked off at me all at once. And I said, man, if I knew this would have worked, I would have started off right from the bat ticking everybody off. But man, 30 years, I go in there, and they let me do what I want. Most of the time, they say, you want to go home today? You got other stuff you got to do? And God has a plan for your life, and it is good and not evil. But sometimes we make God's plan evil in our own minds, in our flesh. Amen? So I'm going to go to Luke 6, verse 27 and 28. And he told me something the other day. This is my friend Josh. He said, Sam, there's one thing I wish I would have did different with my wife that left me. He said, like, when she would come with me and we would be arguing, he said, I would just entertain arguing and stay to my point. But he said, I wish I just walked up to her and said, I bless you in the name of the Lord. I bless you even though I don't agree with you. I ask God to reveal what you need to know and what I'm trying to tell you, because it's not working with me telling you. And that touched my heart even more, man. I was like, you know, he's looking back. He's self-reflecting. And I just thought to myself, man, that is powerful. And then when I read this today, now, forgive me because I never noticed the top line, but to you who are listening, I say, I don't know, I'm not out there on the back row. I'm usually the only one that Cindy's got to kick and wake up, so I think everybody's awake. But to you who are listening, who are opening your heart to possibly changing and staying out of the flesh and getting more into the spirit, but to you who are listening, I say, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you, and pray for those who ill-treated you. Now, that was powerful right there when he said that. I drove off all choked up and teared, and I thought, here's the dude that's like, I mean, you know how we are in battle, when the battle struck, and he's trusting God with all his heart, all his mind, and all his soul. And sometimes, like, you know, some little thing goes wrong in our life, we got to work a little extra, or they cut a day from work. We're all stressed out. Well, if the God of the universe is your Savior, he's got you covered. If the bank account goes down a little bit, he's got you covered. If your health starts failing, you start aching and paining because you're 63 and you still think you're like me and going out there and doing work with a 25-year-old, just get the right 25-year-old, because when he sees the old man try to pick something up heavy, he runs over there and grabs it and makes sure he's doing it, because this is what you're paying for me. This is what you're paying me for, Sam. Those workers are hard to find, so I can't mention no names. But that little soldier that comes to church with us over there, he's an upright man of God. So when I heard this verse, you know, not only bless those that bless you, but bless those that curse you. Now, this is my favorite verse of all. The next one is in Proverbs 10 and verse 22. And I know this scripture for a long time because Pastor Kelly's daddy preached it. The blessing of the Lord makes one rich and adds no sorrow. I realized why I wasn't rich yet, because I didn't do the verse before this. I didn't pray for those that despitely used me. I didn't pray for those that hate me. I didn't walk in forgiveness towards people. Because if you really want to get the blessing of the Lord that makes one rich and adds no sorrow, get that verse I just used about praying for your enemies. Like he said, he wished he would have put his hands on his wife that didn't understand what he was trying to do, and maybe she wouldn't have loved. But anybody want the blessing of the Lord to make you rich and add no sorrow? And you know what being rich is? It's not in money. It's in hearing the voice of God to say, stay home today. It's hearing the voice of God today and say, call this person up. They're having a bad day, and you call them and they don't answer the phone, and you pray a prayer and you bind Satan from stealing, killing, and destroying in their life. And then they text you back and tell you they were in the park all depressed because their finances were short and they're trying to get to Tennessee and basically they were suicidal. And you know, if you can be used by God and hear God enough to just help one person like that in your life, but the first person you're going to have to help in your life is you're going to have to start loving the Lord God with all your heart, all your mind, and all your soul, and love your neighbor as you love yourself. Because if you don't love yourself, you'll never be able to love nobody else. And if you're single, if you're waiting on God for somebody, you need to be starting to love yourself. There's several times I see young people, young teenagers, and they got a nice chain. And I'd say, hey, man, did your boyfriend buy that? And they go, no, I bought this for myself for Christmas. And I was always impressed by that because I thought they're loving themselves a little bit. Now, anybody in here, man, I'm just going to call it out. God wants you to love him first. He wants you to try to love your neighbor, but he wants you to love yourself. Don't be against yourself. Don't be an enemy to yourself. Amen? Second Timothy 4 and verse 2. Remember that. The blessing of the Lord brings wealth without painful toil for it. And this is what Pastor Kelly did this morning when she preached the word on sin today. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. You know what? I was back there. I had my soft shoes on this morning. Look, I had to put my boots on, protect my toes, you know. But, hey, anytime you hear a word from God, if you don't think like I'm thinking all the time, how can I make my life easier? You know how I can? By walking in the Spirit of God, doing what God wants me to do, and not getting fleshy. And, you know, I'm guilty of being in the flesh still, and I think we all got them days. But one more scripture in Hebrews 12, 15, and 16. And, you know, I work with a lot of people, and I always notice people are bitter about coworkers, bitter about their jobs, bitter about things that happen. But at work, I see a lot of people bitter. One guy that comes to my mind, one day I'm going there and it's Christmas, and he goes, I just got a report on how much all the CEOs made for their Christmas bonus, and the top dog made $1.25 million, and we're getting nothing. Most of us get nothing for Christmas. I looked at him and I go, man, I wish I would have went to that college that dude at 1.25 for the Christmas bonus went to. And I was trying to be positive spin on it, but I'm not going to try to curse somebody that God's blessing. And man, if you go to school to be a doctor or a lawyer, or you go to school to be a nurse, you know, the Bible says give honor to where honor is due. And you know, I said, Aaron, I just thank God that I get this money that I'm making every hour here, that I get this paycheck every 2 weeks. I go, I don't perceive what anybody else is doing in this company, but I just thank God for what he's doing for me. And every time I've ever thanked God, I thank God for the job at Cloy's I had. Every time I've ever thanked God for where I was at, God brings me up. When I thank God for where I'm at or where I'm going, he brings me up. Now, I'm older now, and most people are worried about what they're going to get monthly from the government. I'm not worried about that. I'm worried about how much more money I can make and get the government too, because sometimes if you're making good money and you're working and you're selling real estate and you're doing things that God calls you to do, the money will be the last thing that you worry about. Amen? But looking diligently, see that no one falls short of the grace of God, that no bitter root grows up and to cause trouble and defile many. There's a whole list of things that will cause you to defile many, but being mad about the place you work, being mad about, just like this dude, he could be mad that his wife left him, and he could have a root of bitterness and be hating her or go make decisions and wind up in another trouble. But I was so impressed that he's walking in love. And I see so many people that get bitter, and I think Pastor Kelly said something this morning about people say something to somebody on Facebook and they never talk to them again. And it could be a mom and a daughter. It could be a brother and a sister. I mean, I just thank God that there's no roots of bitterness in anybody in this church. And I thank God for everything that he's doing in my life and your life too. And that's really all I got, guys.